This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
So looking back on it all now, I think I tried to make some sparkling green tea, and I think that's where it all went wrong.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast, and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When's ready.
I feel like Leander's staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Sean on the hot track, melt like it's hot wax. Put it out, all the stores, bet you can shop that. Right. Leave a nigga with a hot hat, frontin' like bad boy ain't got tracks. Nigga, stop that. There's no guy slicker than this young fly nigga. Nickel nine liquor, floss you die quicker. This bedtime, out of town, pop flipper.
Turn Chris style to a crooked eye sipper.
Nigga!
Anyway, when the last time you heard that? You're welcome. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I got to thank you again for, you know, spending whatever time it is you have hanging out with me to talk about whatever it is that's going on. I greatly appreciate it. I know you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here sitting, chatting with me. And I thank you for it. So, I know this is mad late. I don't even know. It's Friday. It's going to be late Friday, but I'm counting this as I got an episode out this week. The streak means everything to me. It's a goal, a promise I made to myself that I was going to do it. I was going to stay consistent, come hella high water. And so, I'm doing it this week. Even if it's Friday, late Friday, it's coming out. Something's still going to drop on Monday, and I'm probably going to promote them both at the same time, but had to be done. I picked that because it's been a rough patch. I don't know. I mean, long story short, I've recently had a trip to the ER, another trip to the ER, and I know, because I can hear that, you know, what you're thinking, like, damn, another, like, what's wrong with, you know, but it's actually happening to me. So trust me, I feel the same way. Like, they got another trip to the ER. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it's really to the point where, like, I can't figure out if, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, the right thing right now, and something, you know, good is coming, but, you know, you got to push through this adversity, like life testing you, or if this is, like, I'm somehow being a foul nigga somewhere, and, like, this is the repercussions of that. Like, this is karma coming back. I need to go and examine, you know, who I am and how I'm moving to figure out why, you know, I could be in some of these positions. But I don't know. We'll get back to that. But yeah, I picked this one because that's just, you know, I guess that's kind of how I was feeling. I know there'd probably be some people who was like, you should have done the Grandmaster Flash, you know, version, but it don't hit the same. Like, it wasn't the same vibe on that joint, you know. Like I left the ER, you know, feeling like,
can't nobody take my pride. Can't nobody hold me down. Oh no, I got to keep on moving.
Got no choice. I absolutely wanted to fall, but here the fuck I am. So to catch everybody up. So let's you know, no Chef Elise report per se. I always wanted to use that word for some reason. But there is, like, Elise news. I'm going to pick her up after this. So I'm recording this episode, and then I got maybe an hour or so to, you know, prep a few more things. And then I'm going to head out and pick up my little girl for the first time in about a month or more than a month. You know, we had a daddy-daughter date. We went to go see a movie. But in terms of, like, spending our real, like, visit, our weekend together, that hasn't happened in quite some time. So I could be pushing it with everything that's going on, and I'm definitely nowhere near 100%, but I feel like I need to see my daughter. My daughter needs to see me, and I don't know. It's a risk I'm willing to take at this point. But she did. She got her first report card in the midst of all of this craziness. And I'm going to say this, I consider myself an intelligent person, but this was like a 2-3 page report card. I couldn't follow it. I feel like it was a good report card. I don't have any statistics or information to substantiate that claim, but that's just how I feel. Probably biased. Maybe it was a good report card. They don't even do letter grades the same way anymore. A's and B's and stuff like that is not a thing. It was a lot of E's and stuff like that, and I'm going to assume those are excellent. So I read it the way I wanted to read it. It's a good report card, but it's just dope that she got a report card. Like, crazy. So yeah, we're going to do some things this weekend to kind of celebrate. I booked her birthday party, which, was a proud moment for me. There was some strain there, when I was in the midst of everything I was going through a couple of years back, when she was really, old enough to understand it was her birthday and parties. And so I wasn't quite involved, in some of the situations, I don't know, my own fault. But this year, thanks to Mom, she reached out to me to see, what it is I wanted to do and if I had any ideas about it. And I actually did, which is uncommon for me. I'm normally like, hey, whatever y'all want to do, I'm good. Tell me where to write the check. But this year I actually had some ideas or something I wanted to do, and was able to, plan it and pull the trigger on it. So books are party. I'm looking forward to that. I am and I'm not, but that's another conversation. But yeah, that's what's going on with Chef Elise. Looking forward to seeing her today. We're going to do some Chef Elise things, and then I'll have a real report for next week's episode on Monday. It's going to happen on time. I'm claiming it now. But yeah, so to catch you up on the, Lemony Snicket's, the series of unfortunate events that is my life at the moment, it's just been mad crazy, just super crazy. So on the positive side, I had my follow-up appointment after the surgery. They took the splint off, and I actually really got to see my hand and things for the first time. It was fucking weird. Because one, I get anybody that's had a cast or something like that, I guess they probably know, but I didn't know. There's just a huge buildup of dead skin. And so it's fucking my hand looked like, and this isn't me being racist, because this would be me being racist toward myself. This is an accurate description of what the hand looked like in my mind. It looked like the monkey's paw. Like, you ever seen a depiction of the monkey's paw on the cover of a book or something? That's what my hand looked, just black, super dark, darker than I am, just shriveled and misshapen. It was fucking weird and gross. But I was the weird things that I'm I get happy about. I was happy that they missed my tattoo with the incision. It's a weird looking incision, and I'm kind of proud of that too. I'm gonna have a dope scar to talk about. But they did it in almost a Zorro pattern, and it perfectly misses the tattoo on the inside of my forearm. So that was a plus. What else? I don't know. That was it. And then they didn't put me in a cast. So I got a lot more range of motion right now. I can move my mouse back over to the right side. I can do that kind of stuff. I'm getting my dominant hand back a little bit. I can't pick up anything really, with any weight to it. But I can do a lot. And I'm doing, I feel like, more every day. So I was happy about that. And but that happiness didn't really last. I started to feel feverish probably, I think it was the weekend before they took the cast off. but or they took the splint off. But, you know, luckily, like 2 or 3 days before that appointment, I was feeling better and I thought it was good. You know, so I went in and then, you know, they did what they did and I felt, all right, here we go. Road to recovery. We moving in the right direction. And then I think after that week of work, Friday, I'm at work Friday. And ladies, I sympathize with you because I don't know what it is about Texas. I never experienced this when I was back home, back east. Maybe it was age or whatever. I think it's that people here in Texas just don't know how to do anything a little bit. Like, they got to put their foot all the way down on the gas, no matter what it is they do. And, yeah, so, like, I'm normally in the office and I'm cold. Like, in the summertime, like, cold. Like, I got to bring, you know, my hoodie and stuff to work with me because I can't sit there all day that cold. And when I had the splint, it was extra fucked up because getting the splint through the hoodie or the hoodie over the splint was such an ordeal that once it was done, I wasn't going to undo it. So I would put the hoodie on the way to work. I go to work early enough that it might be cool enough that it's not that big of a deal. But leaving work is like, you know, it was Texas heat. And it's like, I'm not taking the hoodie off. Like, it's just not happening. And so I would just be looking idiotic out in like 90 degree weather with a hoodie on. But it was either that or like freeze to death at work. But anyway, Friday I get to work and it was like Friday afternoon. I was having a good day. I think I even like tweeted out, like, I had buttoned my shirt. This is the stuff I was very, very proud of. I had buttoned my shirt that morning. I had tied my shoes, which was an epic moment for me. I've been wearing slip-ons for a month, and that's not who I am. So, like, tying my shoes and putting on some regular shoes was a dope accomplishment. I was feeling very good Friday morning. By Friday evening, I was wearing a long-sleeve shirt, but I was at my desk, and I was just getting colder and colder and colder. And I'm thinking to myself, this can't be what this is. You know, it's just cold in the office. I know this. This is a given. As soon as I get out of here, everything's going to be fine. I decide, like, I don't have the energy to walk to do, because I normally catch the train or the rail here. It's not really a train. I catch the rail back home. I'm like, I don't really have it in me to go through that trip. I'm just going to Uber back home, and I'm in the Uber and I'm cold. I'm like, it could be a coincidence. This guy might like to run his AC crazy. Who knows? And by the time I got home, I knew, like, this ain't good. And started, like, prepping. I got in the house just, like, prepping for it. Like, all right, I'm gonna take the Tylenol now. I'm gonna get some crackers, put them by the bed, water, put them by the bed. Like, you know, I'm gonna do all this stuff to prep because I'm about to get in this bed and I'm gonna probably have to be here for a minute until whatever this is breaks. Well, that turned into 5 days. 5 days of just, because I'm gangster when it comes, like, if there's one area in life, I'm not gangster in any other moment in life. Like, please don't test my gangster, because I'm a fail. Like, I'm not that dude. But if there's one area in life where I'm like, I'm a G, it said, like, suffering through shit and just not refusing help or to go to a doctor or anything like that. And so, yeah, for 5 days, like, and I think at the highest I registered it was at somewhere around like 103, but it was just a cycle of like the chills and the fever and the sweating and the body aches, and like, I'm going through it and it's crazy. And I like it was legit moments where I was like, man, like I wanted to get, and it wasn't the fever. Like, I never had a fever that made me like, I want to give up. Like, no more, no mas, like, I'm tapping out. It was just the combination stuff. Because I haven't really talked about, like, all of the crazy side effects and shit that has come along with me breaking my wrist. Like, tried to joke about it, you know, but it's been, like, just like I said, a Lemony Snicket's a sequence of unfortunate events that have built upon each other. And it's been like literally, this has been hell on earth for me for like the past month and a half. So it's like I break my wrist, and so I'm taking pain meds. I start taking the pain meds for the wrist, and the doctors are telling me to do this. They're telling me, you know, the regimen to take or whatever. However it worked out, I took too many pain meds or maybe more pain meds than my body was able to handle. Pain meds led to an ulcer. So now I got a broken wrist. I got a fucking ulcer. And I got an ulcer from taking the pain meds from the broken wrist. And now I got choices to make about where do I want to feel the pain from? Like, do I want to feel the pain in my abdomen or do I want to feel the pain from the wrist? And I tell you 100%, out of everything that's going on in this whole situation, the ulcer has been by far the most painful. Like, that has been like everything else is continuous pain or like uncomfortable pain. But like the ulcer was like sit the fuck down pain. Like I could literally be walking through the apartment and it flare up and like you gotta drop to a knee. Like, so then that hit. So I'm like, all right, kicking me while I'm down. It's cool. I'm rolling with the punches. All right, whatever, you know, how do we handle an ulcer? Oh, antacids? All right, bet. Do that. So now I'm on the Tums. I'm drinking Pepto and Alka-Seltzer and all that. Well, you know, if you don't, I'm sure there are people out there that already know, but if you don't, ingesting a whole lot of calcium like that over an extended period of time is not a good idea. It's going to lead to things. And then, you know, when you stack that on, so I'm ingesting all this calcium, which is leading. I'm not going to say what happened, but I'm ingesting all this calcium, which is leading to something. And then I have a surgery where they numb a lot of things and put me under general anesthesia. So it takes like your muscles and systems and things a little while to come back and regain their full strength. So I've been taking all this calcium, and now certain systems in the body are not at full strength, which leads to another horribly uncomfortable ailment. I'm like, God damn, like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? And then I handled that. You know, I had to do some things that I was not comfortable doing, that I'm not proud of, that I would never talk to anybody about. But I made it through. And after each one of these things, like I'm proud of myself after each one of them, because the old me would have fallen a long time ago. But you know, I'm knocking these things out, and I'm just.
Can't nobody take my pride. Can't nobody hold me down.
You know that, like that's how I'm feeling. And so I get through that, and you know, surgery's done. I can move my hands some more. I'm talking to you guys about it. I'm like, all right, you know, I can see a day where I'm going to be back to me. Like 100% is going to be back at some point. And then this shit hits. And so, you know, in the midst of that 5 days, it was just like, man, it has just been one thing after another, you know, and not even after another. It's been one thing and then another and then another and then another. And like, it's like, how many more of these am I supposed to just be able to juggle or struggle off or, you know, or fight through? And so, yeah, I definitely wanted to give up. But you know, I don't know, something made me, you know, keep, you know, something kept me going. Maybe my daughter, man, I know, you know what it is. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It is one of my traits, which is either a good or a bad trait, depending on the day of the week. It was fucking spite. Spite kept me going. Like, I know that there are people who are anticipating me falling. Like, they're waiting on it. They're counting on it. They probably been talking about it for a couple of years. And now they might be even looking bad because it's like, oh, this dude is not falling. Like you said, he was going to fall. He seems to be a pretty decent guy. And he's holding up pretty well through some crazy shit. He's holding up, man. And then in their name Heart of Hearts, they're like, man, I need this nigga to, like, I need something to take him down because he's trying to prove me wrong. And so that's how at least that's what's going on in my head. That person may or may not exist, but that's how I feel. And so that spite, I cannot let that imaginary being win. I cannot let whoever it is out there that's going to celebrate when I fuck up, like, see it happen. So, all right, let's get up. Let's keep moving. What we got to do? So it gets to Monday, and it gets to the point where, like, I'm going to start missing work. So Monday I work from home, so I'm able to, like, push through it and, you know, and work from home throughout everything without anybody knowing what's going on. And then Tuesday I'm supposed to go into the office. So Tuesday I pretty much call out. I let them know what's going on. I'm dealing with this fever and that, you know, I may have to, you know, go into the emergency room. And I don't want to because I don't want to go to the, I don't like going to the doctor. I don't want to go to the doctor. And I I hate going to the doctor and it'd be like, you going through this for 5 days, it's a 6 day bug, you had one more day and then you know what I mean? Like, if you could have just held on a little bit longer, you know, sucker ass nigga. Like, you know, that's how I feel. So I did not want to go to the ER. So I started calling, you know, I called a primary care physician. They tell me it's been too soon since my surgery. I need to talk to my surgeon. I called the surgeon's office. They tell me the surgery was so long ago, you need to talk to a primary care physician. Now I'm just pissed off because I feel like I'm dying over here and y'all passing me back and forth. I don't really give a fuck. I'm not placing blame or trying to do. I'm just trying to not feel like this for any longer than I have already felt like this. I'm laying out my case every time I talk to these people. I'm not saying to them what I'm saying to you because I'm the whitest black man alive. I'm very nice. I'm very Canadian. So whatever, when I'm on the phone, I hear Canadians are nice. That was a joke. I get off the phone. I'm just like, all right, I'm going to go where everybody knows your name. I'm going to go where they can't, you know, refuse me. I'm going to go to the same place that helped set my arm after I broke it. So, and I still, like this is who I am. Like, I had a fever for 5 days. I feel like I'm dying. Like, you can't have a fever. You can't have a temperature like this for this long, you know, without starting to damage something. But I'm like, it's COVID time. Like, nobody wants to be around a person with a fever. So I call the ER to find out if they are willing to take a person with a fever of, you know, 102, 103. And they asked me a couple questions, but I don't think the guy meant to say it the way he said it, you know, and I didn't even catch it until later. But he's like, we'd love to have you. And I don't think the ER is like, yeah, we love it. Yeah, everybody come on in. Like, we want to get sick because we'd love you to come on down. Like, no. I don't think he meant it that way, but he's like, no, come on in. You know, but that's my mindset. Like, I don't want to inconvenience anybody else. Or I don't want to be feverish around people and stuff. So let me call and make sure it's okay that I go to the emergency room. But I get to the emergency room, and here's my gripes again. Like the medical community has taken very good care of me. You know, my arm looked like a mangled piece of mess. You know, they had to put my wrist back together, and they did it. And they did it, you know, rather expeditiously. And if the cost that I paid is the total that I'm going to have to pay for that thing, then, you know, I can accept that. And, but at the same token, like, I'm calling places talking about having a fever for 5 days and not really getting anybody with that same sense of urgency that I felt. And then I get to the ER. And they hand me, again, a stack of paperwork. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. First of all, the urgency of the issue is in the name of the fucking organ, like the name of the thing, the name of the system. It's the emergency room. So I didn't come here because I have an inconvenient problem. I came here because I have an emergency. And so for the first thing for you to ask me to do when I get there is to fill out a bunch of paperwork that's repetitive. Every damn stack, every damn form in this stack asks me for my name, my date of birth, and my address. The same basic, it's 2021. It got to be a better way to do this. It got to be a better way for me to get you this information that I don't have to sit here and repeatedly write it. Do something physical when I'm in an emergency room because I don't physically feel well. Like, I don't know for anybody else if the act of writing when you don't feel well is just not fucking fun. Like, it's just not whatever. But all right, but I get that done. So that's done. They take me to back. They give me a COVID test first, which I was happy for. And they already start saying, like, flippant, like, shit to me that I was uncomfortable with. So I think they do, like, round-the-clock COVID testing, and it's around back. So I get there, and he's like, all right, we're going to give you a COVID. You could have gone around the back for that. That would have been cheaper. I'm like, dude, I'm not here because I think I have COVID. If I have COVID, then, you know, we'll take it from there. I'm here because I have a fear. I hate, especially as an IT guy, I hate people who diagnose their own issue and then have you chase down something that is not the problem. And then now, after you have done things that should have fixed what they told you was the problem and it still doesn't work, now you got to go back and figure out, you know, what was going on. So, like, I didn't come here to tell you I think I have COVID. I came here to tell you I had a fever for 5 days. What the fuck is going on? I didn't say it like that, of course. That was my black internal voice. But they gave me the COVID test. And so, you know, and while I'm sitting there doing that, I got a hoodie on because I know what's about to happen. Like, I came to the ER when I felt well enough to come to the ER, because in these 5 days, it's been a cycle. You know, I get the chills, the fever spikes, I take some meds, the fever breaks, I sweat it out, and then I have a couple of hours of like 50, 60% okayness. And in those couple of hours, I got to get whatever I need to get done. I got to eat. I got to, you know, maintain myself whatever way I can, clean up after myself whatever the best way I can, and then start bunkering down, you know, or hunkering down for the next wave that's coming. So when I got in my mind, I was leaving the house to go somewhere. It's like, I got to leave the house at the height of one of those I feel okay periods. So no, I did not come here with a fever, but I'm telling you, it's coming. I came here in a hoodie because I know what's coming. So they keep coming in there. They got to ask me to remove the hoodie because they got to take, you know, or you got to take vitals and get my blood pressure and all that kind of stuff. And I do. And every time they finish, I ask them, can I put my hoodie back on? Like, I'm, this red flag should be going off. Like, this, it's not cold in here. This guy is cold. So then I start asking for blankets. And, you know, and still no real, like, I get it. It's an emergency room. They see a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know if there are people who just enjoy hanging out in the emergency room. But I ain't one of them people. I ain't want to be there. Like, I was avoiding that. I've already told you, I spent 5 days feeling this way before I got here. I was willing to gut this out for as far as long as I could, because I didn't want to. I wasn't the guy who, like, looked at the thermometer the first time. It was like 102. Oh, fuck it. Emergency room. Like, nah. Like, 5 days. So whatever. I lost myself, but so I'm asking for blankets and all that stuff, and waiting on test results and things like that. And every so often, this dude would come in the room, and, you know, and take my temperature, and it seemed like real, like, I don't know, just malicious and spiteful. Like, he would come in, let me take your temperature, and he'd take the temperature, and it was like 99 something. And he'd be like, yes, no fever. You know, you can get the chills without a fever. I was like, okay, appreciate that. And then he'd leave. And then, you know, more time would go by. You know, COVID test comes back negative. Or we're going to do a blood test. We're going to do this, you know, waiting on that to come through. And then same dude would come pop his head back in. Let me take your temperature again. And he'd take my temperature. And 99.7. You know, no fever. You know, you can get the chills without a fever. I'm like, motherfucker. Like, I okay, well, word. Appreciate it. Should I leave then? Like, is that the sign for me to go? Like, are you dismissing me? Or are you giving me the same information repetitively? Because what is the point that you're trying? Like, I didn't say any of this. I didn't say any of this. But I'm getting pissed. Like, you don't say it again. But then he went on. He said it like 4 or 5 more times. And he would just show up. I don't know if anybody was sending him in there to take my temperature. Well, he was just on some, look, I thought you had a fever. You don't have a fever. You know you can get the chills without a fever. Motherfucker. But luckily is a strange word, but luckily I was there long enough with the spike. And then, you know, once it spiked, once it went from like 99.7 to like 103.8, you know, people got a sense of urgency. And then they took great care of me after that. And I had some dope conversations with, you know, white nurses. They weren't that even. I think they all thought they were much older than me, but they weren't. But we talked about, like, Nazi Europe or Nazi Germany. We talked about Saturday morning cartoon. Like, we had it just, I'm sure you're not old enough to remember this, but sad cartoons used to only come on Saturday. Like, do I look that young for real? Like, I want to take the compliment, but I feel insulted. But yeah, long story short, kidney infection on both sides, both kidneys. You know, I say it's no telling how much longer I had to try to like gut through this fever, you know, before something really bad happened. Like we were talking about, you can't have a fever that long without, you know, damaging your organs in some sort of way. You know, I got both kidneys inflamed and shit could have gone real low. And it was crazy. I didn't have any other symptoms. I didn't have a cough. I didn't have shortness of breath. And my chest didn't hurt. I could taste everything. I wasn't nauseous. I wasn't vomiting. It was body aches and the fever. Nothing else was a problem. And maybe the body aches was masking the back pain. Because I thought my back hurt because my body hurt. And I was laying down for so long. But my back probably hurt because my kidneys was going out of control. But long story short, I said that twice, which means it didn't work at all. But yeah, I'm feeling a lot better today. I'm up. I don't have a hoodie on in the house. I'm drinking some grapefruit soda, Squirt. I'm recording the episode. I'm listening to music. I'm working today from home. So things work, you know, things worked out for the most. I'm going to see my baby girl in a little bit. So that takes me back to the initial thing about like whether or not how I should view this. I can't figure out whether, you know, all this shit is happening. Is this like said you got to go through something before, you know, the big blessing comes, and the bigger the door, the bigger the blessing. So is this like some extremely dope shit is about to happen to me? Or is this, you know, karma coming back on me for the way I've been living or some wrong that I've been doing? And, you know, do I need to be bracing for something good, or do I need to be reflecting internally to figure out what I'm doing wrong? And the more I think of it, the more I think, you know, I probably should at all times be doing both. You know, I think we all know somebody who is always waiting for something bad to happen. And as miserable as a life as that looks and that appears, we all got to admit that they right. Like something bad is going to happen. And I should always be examining myself. That's my program teaches me to be taking a moral inventory and, you know, and looking at, you know, my part in things and what I'm doing and my character flaws and how I can be better and how I can be of service and how I can do more and how I can, you know, just be a better person on a daily basis. That's that should always be a part of my life, whether bad things are happening or not. And the same way bad things are always going to happen, good things are always going to happen. Something good is coming at all times. And you don't know when, you don't know what it is. It's a surprise.
Surprise, yes.
We all love surprises, right? So, good things are happening. Good things are going to happen. You know, it could be the exact thing you pray for. It could be the realization that you don't need the thing that you pray for. It could be, you know, an event that takes you to a place in life where you have a whole new set of hopes and prayers and stuff. Like the stuff that you used to worry about and pray for and want resolved aren't even issues anymore. You got a whole new set of things to concern yourself with, or to be hopeful about, or to want to improve. Or it could just be a sunrise. But good things are happening. They're going to happen. I promise you. All right. So with that being said, I got to shout out my homie, Zaya Fitness. The website is, I swear to God, I'm going to get this right. It is livealphafitness.com. So LIV, no E, alphafitness.com. Hit them up for your nutrition goals, your fitness goals. It can get you where you want to be. Young dude, great dude, my brother. So yeah, if you need any assistance in that arena, nutrition and fitness, Live Alpha Fitness is the place to be, place to go. TTCharities.org, if you're looking for ways to be impactful, be your brother's keeper. Make a difference in this, you know, crazy mixed up world we're in right now. Live Alpha Fitness. I'm messed up, y'all. TTCharities.org is the website to hit up. Donate what you can, time, money, books, likes, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a long way. Also want to shout out all of my brothers and sisters in this pod family. You know, it's amazingly dope. One of the moments I had throughout all of this was filling out those forms and getting to the, I don't even know if I'm going to talk about it. I don't know if I can do it without getting emotional. We're going to find out. But getting to the emergency contact and really realizing I ain't have nobody. Like, you know, since the divorce, you know, most of my friends were my ex-wife's friends that when I was no longer her husband, like those relationships just dissolved. And, but I've met some great people in recovery. I got brothers, you know, I got people I was able to put down on that form and would hit me up like while I was in the ER. And as soon as I got out the ER, man, you need anything, you need to get picked up, you need that, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, so I got to be grateful for that. It almost felt disrespectful to be sitting there upset about feeling like you ain't have nobody when I got a plethora of people, you know, podcast family, recovery family. People reached out and they were worried about me and cared about me and wanted to make sure I was okay. And so sometimes don't focus. If you focus on what you think you don't have, it's going to amplify the fact that you feel like you don't have it. If you really look around at what you actually have, you might realize that, you know, you're looking for something from a specific source and you're getting it from everywhere else. So be grateful. Stay grateful. Stay connected. And with that, I just want to thank everybody again. And y'all be safe. Y'all be easy. Be the light. And I love y'all. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last rub, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.